Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to catch my drift here on the Drift Radio Show. Joining me in the studio today, Brandon Drake.
Hello.
And County Commissioner Dan Smith.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Thanks for coming in on such late notice, Dan. Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Yeah, yeah. So lots to cover today. But before we do that, let's take care of a little business. Sponsor of this half hour is the Current newspaper.
COU. R-A-N-T.
Online.com. There you go. Still time to get into the October edition. If you want to get your branded image out there, use the Current newspaper for your print media budget. We've grown the paper now six times its size in the last 7 years, I think. So grow your business like you have grown, or like we have grown our business at the Current. CurrentOnline.com, C-O-U-R-A-N-T-Online.com. Or you can call me, 734-629-6010. Or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com or editor@currentonline.com, whatever you want to do.
And it's not to be confused with that other Current publication in Ann Arbor.
It's not the entertainment mag that you'll find out there. No. Currentonline.com, common sense news and opinion, and a great place to grow your business. So handle that. If you want to call in today, 734-822-1600, you can talk about anything you wish, but we're going to cover another. We're going to cover a number of issues today, and I would love to get your opinion on them. We weren't going to go into this because I was listening to Dip Kupke earlier today, and he that's Trigger Talk here at 11 o'clock, and we were talking about the county commission, Washtenaw County Commission, doing a resolution, I think it's a resolution, about enhanced gun-free zones. Dan? Is that what I'm hearing?
So, yes, the resolution that was drafted was calling for the repeal of two state laws. The one state law, I don't remember right off the top of my head the particular number of it. It's what's effectively the Stand Your Ground law here
Stand
in Michigan.
Your ground,
it's not
yeah.
It's not quite called that in the state law. It's called something a little bit different. And then the other state law has been on the books for 23 years. It was adopted in the early 1990s, and it prohibits municipalities from enacting their own gun control regulations. So counties, cities, village, townships are unable to enact their own gun regulations, and that's a state law that was enacted in 1990. And so the draft resolution called for the repeal of those two laws. It also called for the legislature to pass stricter gun control laws, some of the things you just mentioned, Gary. The outcome of all of this is it was pulled from the agenda at the last minute on Wednesday morning, and so it wasn't even brought up on Wednesday night. And so we didn't have anything that was related to this. We didn't discuss it. There are rumors that it's going to be placed back on the agenda on October 2nd, so I'm not sure it's went away yet.
So was it pulled because of some blowback they were getting? People up in arms, pardon the pun, about it? Or?
No, I think it was pulled pretty simple. There were a couple of commissioners that weren't going to be there, and it takes five votes under our rules to pass a resolution. We're a little different than the township. We always need five votes to pass anything, regardless of how many people are there. You may remember at townships, it's a majority of a quorum.
Yes.
That can conduct business. That's not the case at the Board of Commissioners. Board of Commissioners, it's always a majority of those elected and serving. So always five votes, and there weren't going to be five votes there on Wednesday evening. And so rather than have the thing not have enough votes to pass, they yanked it from the agenda and we didn't vote on it.
Right. And I wouldn't have probably given a hoot about it because you know what? This is a free country. If you want to waste your time frankly, I guess as a taxpayer, I elect people to the county, such as yourself, to do a job, which is run the business of our
This isn't
county.
Our job.
And, yeah, exactly. I don't believe that Washtenaw County Commission should be wasting my taxpaying dollars. I know you don't make a lot, but still, I'd rather you be focusing on something that has relevance and importance than these jokers whatever it is they want to do.
So the raw number of dollars involved is probably minimal. It's our salaries, a little bit of staff time, and so on. But there is money involved.
It's the principle of the thing.
It's not our business, and I've been clear on these things. There was a resolution that came in front of us earlier this spring with the Medicare expansion. All right, something that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about, and there's a lot of stuff going on. That's a decision for Lansing to make. There was a resolution that was in front of us at the very beginning of the year opposing right to work that had just been adopted. And okay, fine, oppose it. The state law is the state law, and if you don't like it, take it up with your legislatures. We have a delegation here of 4 state representatives and 2 state senators, okay? So ample number of people to make your opinions known to, and they can in turn take those to Lansing and bring those forward there and change the state law.
Have you debated and voted whether we should bomb Syria?
But you're not too far off. We had a resolution in front of us last year with the previous board supporting the Clean Air Act. Okay, I abstained from that one last year because of the exact same reason. The Clean Air Act is a very complex piece of federal legislation. I don't claim to understand it at all. It's not my job to understand it as a county commissioner. Okay,
yeah, it's not important.
It's important
at this level.
It's not important to me in my role as a county commissioner.
It's not relevant at
not
that
relevant.
Level.
Okay.
To the Board of Commissioners. All right, does it impact people in Washtenaw County? It certainly does. But this is why Washtenaw County has 2 congressmen. And we have 2 senators representing Michigan so that they can go to Washington and sort out these issues with the Clean Air Act on our behalf.
Right. Yeah, I like your stance on it because, you know, frankly, it isn't. Why are we wasting our time talking about it at the county level? It's stupid. It's ignorant. It's a touchy-feely, stop wasting my time type of thing, frankly. So the only thing that did bother me was listening on Dick's show.
Right, let's get to that.
When Conan Smith, who called in, Commissioner Conan Smith, not you, the other Smith, called in, who happens to be a Democrat, okay, started talking about, well, you know, the stand your ground thing is putting more African Americans into jail, and so it becomes a social justice issue. What?
And the little bit I heard, I had to turn it off because it was making me sick to my stomach listening to this whole back and forth, is that it sounded like a lot of his motivation was because his grandparents were African Americans, something like that. So totally pulling in race into the conversation and that, you know, and stand your ground. And like you said, most African or a good percentage of African Americans are in jail.
If you're committing a crime,
you should go to prison.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got nothing to do with race.
Right.
People that go, it's not because of their color of their skin that they're going to prison. It's because they're from lower incomes, they don't have the education, they
culture,
don't have
parents
and mentoring and all the other good stuff.
And he was trying to make the case that what you just said is not true, that it somehow is biased because they are black.
Yeah, which is total.
And that's why I just shut it off.
Yeah, total nonsense. I hate these race baiting, and that's basically what that was. But needless to say, I like your take on it, Dan. You know what, county commissioners, just stay out of it. It's none of your business, frankly.
Make your statement personally.
Yeah. You don't have to pass a resolution.
We've got a long list of things that are county business that are in front of us and some serious things that are certainly Washtenaw County business that we need to tackle and be in front of and work on. So lots of things there. As you said, there are numerous ways for elected officials, my colleagues or myself, to make their views known on something like this without it being at the Board of Commissioners table. I have no problem with Commissioner Smith, Conan Smith, making his views known on this. All right? That's perfectly fine for him to do. I have a problem with it being done at the board table.
Right.
Board meeting.
That's what Facebook is for, Joe. You know, go put it on Facebook and you can do all you want. Let's take a call from Tom from Milan. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Glad you took my call. I just can't figure out why something that was knocked down by the Supreme Court has to come back up.
Yeah, well, you know,
the Supreme Court already knocked it down. The state Supreme Court has already knocked it down. And it's the law of the land that the people have the right to keep and bear arms.
Right.
And it's to drive our blood pressure up, Tom.
The commissioners is beyond my comprehension. Have you ever heard of the word treason? Because knocking down that law wrecks the Constitution. And
right.
They know it.
Yep.
And they'll take that and ram it, and you're in trouble.
Awesome. Great point, Tom.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call. Take care. Well, exactly. Again, it comes around. Stop wasting our time with it.
Yeah,
you know,
we have no authority here.
I was just going to ask that. If it passed by 100% at the commission level, it means nothing, right? There's no enforceability.
If the entire board voted for this resolution, first of all, the action that was proposed being taken in the resolution is just saying, well, repeal a couple of laws, and we'd like you to strengthen some gun control things. So that's those are the statements that the resolution made, all right? Even if the resolution attempted to take stronger action, we have no authority to do that anyway.
I guess it's just that it's agitation at a very local level that maybe at the state level they would take into account that much more seriously.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's a communication tool possibly,
well,
right?
I'm sure the legislative delegation in Lansing is just waiting to hear what Washtenaw County has to say on matters.
Exactly.
Maybe we should thank Conan Smith because now talk radio like us benefits, right? We have something to talk about.
That's right. Gives us something to talk about. Right. That's exactly. Let's move on to a couple of other issues at the county. County issued ID cards.
Yeah. That is an idea that was floated this spring and apparently is slowly gaining traction. It hasn't been formally presented at the board yet, but I did get a call from somebody who was working on it this summer, and I read some news reports that a couple of my colleagues were indeed working on it further, and they stated it was reported in a media outlet that they intended to bring this forward later on this year, probably after our budget is done or early next year. The idea seems to be that undocumented immigrants, and we can talk about that phrase in a minute if you want to.
You mean illegal aliens.
The phrase that's out there is undocumented immigrants. I'm just telling you what's out there.
Okay. Illegal aliens. I'm going to do the subliminal thing for this whole segment. Illegal aliens.
But that Washtenaw County would issue the undocumented immigrants.
He's almost afraid to say it.
Yeah, I know.
Illegal alien.
would issue them a county ID card. And now they would have a piece of government-issued ID. And I'm not quite sure what they're going to do with that piece of government-issued ID, but that's what the idea is.
Well, if they can't speak English, the police should be able to use it to arrest them and deport them, would be my guess. It should be a deportment device. Is that even a word, deportment?
Yeah, but they'll never do that because they have all the excuses in the world that, well, we can't afford to detain them. Where are we going to put them? That's not our job and all that business.
Well, you know,
ICE won't pick them up.
I hate to be extreme. I don't want to sound extreme, but as Tom just mentioned, isn't it treason if you're going against the laws of the federal government?
Not anymore.
You know, when that person shows up to get his county ID card and you find out that they are an illegal alien.
Gary, if you're furthering social justice, you're enlightened.
Yeah, well, that's what it comes down to. It sounds like our county commission, instead of doing their jobs, are spending a little too much time on social justice engineering.
I'm not
blaming you.
I'm not quite sure what's all behind this. We have a mechanism in this state already to get a not driver's license, a Michigan ID card, all right? That's not a driver's license. Now, vast majority of people have a driver's license, but a driver's license is strictly with regards to being able to operate a motor vehicle on the roads of the state. So if you're not able to do that or don't want to do that or whatever, you can get an ID card. So we already have a mechanism for doing that. If it's a problem with these folks having access to the Secretary of State, well, those are things we should work with the Secretary of State on, saying, okay, we need it to be easier for people to get their picture taken and to fill out the paperwork to get this ID card. The other thing I mentioned to this person I was talking with this earlier this summer about it is this problem, if it exists, certainly isn't unique to Washtenaw County. What about Wayne County? What about Kent County? Why are we wanting to do this here in Washtenaw County? There's a whole lot more people in Kent County and in Oakland County and in Wayne County than there are here in Washtenaw County.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure why we would want to be doing it when these other counties aren't.
Again, it's another touchy-feely, you know, make you feel good. We're going to help you support. And you know what? You get these small instances where he was a kid that was brought here as a 2-year-old, and he's still an illegal immigrant, undocumented alien, whatever.
Here's what we do. I got the answer, gentlemen. If you are an illegal alien breaking the law, okay, I'm sure that President Mary Sue at the U of M would agree with this. We give everybody instant acceptance into the University of Michigan. no tuition, and we grant them a University of Michigan ID card. They're covered.
Huh? The amount of money the U of M's bringing in, they should be. All right, fine. Okay, let's do that.
There you go.
Let's put it all on Mary Sue.
What this ID card seems to be is a fairly blatant attempt to take a national issue and try and make it local here. I mean, I just commented how this isn't our business with the gun control stuff. It's not our business, all right? So this is an attempt to kind of circumvent the stance that this isn't our business and try and come up with a way to take this national issue, which Washington should sort out and come up with a solution for, but and trying to say, all right, well, let's make this a Washtenaw County issue. And if we go issue a Washtenaw County ID card, now we've made it Washtenaw County business.
I guess
now this is a Washtenaw County issue.
It's great propaganda.
The hypocrisy for me is, wasn't this the same board, or am I thinking of the Ann Arbor City, that made a statement against Arizona immigration law?
Probably the city council.
That was the city council.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think it was our board.
To me, it kind of smacks of the same thing. Fine, you want to do that here, but at the same time, you want to say that Arizona's wrong for trying to do locally what they want to do. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay, so enough of that. Let's move on to the last one, is the loan issue.
So there's interest. Actually, the majority of the board granted initial approval to a countywide microloan program, or a Washtenaw County microloan program. And this also was postponed at our meeting Wednesday night.
Not enough people showed up.
Is
that a boycott, or was just like they were just too busy out, you know, shopping or something?
I'm not going to comment on what my other commissioners do or don't do. For other people to do. But so it was postponed by a vote of the board, postponed 2 weeks to our October 2nd meeting. What this is an attempt to do is to support some small businesses that are trying to get started. And I know, Gary, you're aware of what it takes to get a business going. And it's certainly difficult, and I certainly understand that. And I certainly am supportive of efforts to provide microloans, small loans to businesses. However, the county doesn't need a new program. We are still facing budget shortfalls. We're having a difficult time keeping sheriff deputies on the road, making sure that our communities and our streets are safe. And we don't need to start up a new program. We don't need to become a bank. All right. The county is going to, through a third party that we're going to contract with, lend your tax dollars to businesses. Now, the best part of all of this is, you know what one of the criteria is for qualifying for these microloans?
This is what I wanted to ask.
You have to have been turned down by two separate banks for loans greater than $20,000. If that has happened, then you qualify for our program.
So if you're a huge credit risk and a deadbeat, hey, knock on the door. The new bank is ready to serve.
The Bank of Washtenaw County Commission.
Yeah, the taxpayer.
Come one, come all, as long as you're a loser.
Yeah, it's just... You know, why don't we just make Washtenaw County that much more friendly for businesses to get started, rather than having, you know, the roadblocks in place and then saying, well, here's some taxpayer money.
To be fair, some of these businesses, it's difficult to qualify for loans from a bank, especially a business loan, if you're starting out. You're not going to have any credit history. You may not have a lot built up in the business, not a long customer list, these types of things. So it's easy to understand how you would get turned down for loans by banks. Easy to understand if you're a small startup business trying to get going. Understandable. I'm not sure the solution at that point is for the county to step in and say, oh, well, now we'll loan you the money. I think this small business owner should explore other ways of financing their business activities privately.
Well put. Yes.
Well, Small Business Administration is there for a reason. You know what I mean? Let them deal with it. Again, I don't believe that it's the county's job to be handling something like that. Stick to the business of business. And that's running the county and getting deeper into debt, giving more money away, whatever. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Pretty soon, you can be an illegal alien with an ID card borrowing money from the county.
Oh, my. I like the way you just tie it all together.
And you can't defend yourself if you own a gun.
Yeah. So somebody else can come rob you after you,
after you get the money.
Dude, that's the ultimate in income distribution.
Well, see, it's all going to work out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Income distribution. It's the Washtenaw County way. Okay, that's convoluted as all get out. Wow.
That's where okay. we'll you know, the best humor is when there's a lot of truth.
Well,
since we're all laughing, it's kind of scary.
It's insanity gone wild. I mean, I just, you know, Dan, I want to thank you for, because I voted for you. And I want to thank you for being a breath of common sense, because there sure doesn't seem to be a whole lot on the board. Not that I ever expected. When you've got a liberal progressive town like Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, which is on the dole, you know, let's face it, Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti are both on the dole. Ann Arbor gets the money for businesses and university and everything else, and Ypsilanti, all the poor people, get the dole from the opposite end, you know? That's the same reason why the two counties where I think Rick Snyder lost was Washtenaw and Wayne, right? The two counties that seem to get most of the government dole on one end of the spectrum or the other. But I want to thank you so much for always being a breath of fresh air.
And I just wanted to say I've sat in the studio with Dan twice since I've been on the show with you, and it's always been a lot of fun. I love it when you come in.
Well, you must have a sense of humor dealing with those nitwits on a regular basis, too.
And he answers our questions.
I'm not sure I would use that phrase in reference to my fellow board members.
You would, but I can. They're nitwits.
And he answers our questions. There's not this roundabout nonsense that you would expect from, you know, most public figures.
Yeah. Again, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And frankly, you know what? Go on Facebook. In fact, isn't Conan Smith, is he married to Rebecca Warren, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's got the ultimate in Lansing. You know, Conan, just tell your wife to change the law. You know what I mean? She's another green tree hugger, touchy-feely liberal. You know what I mean? Do you really have to do it here in Washtenaw County at the county level? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, before they, you know, they change the law, make sure he reads the bill.
I'm sure they're reading it. All right. Well, before we move on, Dan, I'd like to get your take on this then. So we've got a break coming up. How long we got, Derek? A couple minutes? 3 minutes. Internet sales tax in Michigan. Now, you're a big computer guy because your real job is in the computer business. And six Republicans and three Democrats in the state house last week approved a two-bill package that would establish an internet tax here in Michigan. I want to get your take on the internet tax. At some point, my initial reaction is no internet tax. What's your take on an internet tax?
Well, I'm not familiar at all with the legislation that's been introduced, the particulars of it. My understanding is that this is trying to provide additional tools to enforce laws that are already on the books, all right? Already on the books in the state of Michigan, and I don't think Michigan's unique in this aspect. If you buy something from out of state, which you use in Michigan, you're supposed to pay the use tax on it, all right? And that's just, frankly, extremely hard to enforce.
I always wonder what use tax was versus sales tax, okay. So that's it.
Yeah, you're buying something from out of state, which you intend to use in Michigan, all right?
Okay.
So, and the use is, okay, I'm wearing a shirt that I bought at Land's End, all right? Now, Land's End, since they did the thing with Sears, has physical presence in Michigan, so they have to charge sales tax when they ship here. Amazon, on the other hand, doesn't. They have no physical presence in Michigan. Now, if they were to get together with Barnes & Noble or something like that, they then would have to charge sales tax when they ship to Michigan. So my understanding would be that this is an attempt to better enforce a law that's already on the books but is extremely difficult to enforce. If you remember when you fill out your income tax every year, your Michigan income tax, there's a spot on there for you to put in your use tax and for the state to collect your use tax in that way. And so, and again, I don't know the particulars of this particular law and the details, but that's my rough understanding of what's trying to be done here.
Okay.
So it's to put the burden on the seller, and that's the enforcement.
Which is already the case if you have a physical presence in the state of Michigan. Right. You're obligated to collect that sales tax anyway.
Yeah, I haven't made my mind up one way or the other. My initial reaction is always, oh, no, don't do it. But you know what? I need to do my own work, as I think we all should. So,
well, on the one hand, you can see you want it to be fair for the people that are here and have to pay it. But on the other hand, it's like, oh, another tax.
Right, right.
Is it really another tax? Though some would argue it's not.
Yes. County Commissioner Dan Smith, thank you so much for coming in today.
Yep.
All right.
Nice to be with you.
We'll see you on the other side of the break.
always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Americans may have been among those hurt in a deadly attack on a shopping mall in Nairobi, Kenya. This according to the U.S. State Department, which says it's received such reports.
We have the witnesses describing these well-armed men, perhaps five of them, wearing bulletproof vests, carrying AK-47s, hurling grenades and shooting indiscriminately into the crowds of people.
Fox Sister Network Sky News reporter Emma Hurd, the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab is claiming responsibility, threatening more violence. Fresh disasters hitting swamped parts of Colorado.
Overnight, there were four new oil spills. The floodwaters have hit several oil fields in the area, spilled thousands of gallons of oil. And at the same time, seven people have died in these floods, and still 80 people are unaccounted for.
Fox's Will Carr, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
DBM VoiceWorks.
Audiobooks, corporate training videos, PowerPoint presentations, movie theater announcements, voicemail systems, and voiceovers for television commercials. Whatever your need, DBM VoiceWorks is here for you. To learn more about DBM VoiceWorks, visit dbmvoiceworks.com. That's dbmvoiceworks.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift here at Wham! Talk 1600, Drift Radio Show. Brandon Drake joining me in the studio, and County Commissioner Dan Smith taking the rolling the dice to stick around for another segment of the show. If you want to call in, 734-822-1600, I almost forgot there for a minute, give us your opinion on any subject. It doesn't have to be anything we talked about so far today, because the show is your show as well as ours, so love to have your comments. Michigan lawmakers passing a bill requiring community service for those on welfare. Good idea or bad idea? Dan?
He's... He's abstaining.
Yeah, you can abstain.
He's pleading moot.
Brandon?
No, I think that's a great idea.
I think it is, too. I mean, I'm not asking a lot. You know, clean the street in front of your house. You know, go paint a park bench. You know, to get you out of the house. Get you a little air, whatever.
Well, that's just it. A work ethic is something that, you know, is very important psychologically for anybody. Right?
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, if you get into this routine where you're watching Jerry Springer and you're hanging out on the couch and you're getting that check, you know, your whole muscle memory, your psychological mentality just goes down the tubes.
Yeah. I mean,
of
if you're
not
really,
wanting
yeah.
to do anything.
If you really care about the mental health of people on welfare, you want to stimulate them. You want to keep them busy. You want them to feel valuable. I mean, Dan, makes sense? Yes? Yes. He's just nodding.
And the fact is, if they are getting paid and there is something to be done that isn't too unreasonable, where is the harm?
Well,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, the taxpayer has to possibly benefit some way in this, I would think, to a certain degree, since we're the ones paying it.
Well, yeah, right? I agree. I think it's a good idea. Will it pass? Probably not. You know, because it feels people are going to say we're punishing people on welfare. I don't think you're punishing people on welfare. You're giving them a basic chore or work in exchange for the money they're receiving. And I think that's a good thing. You know, the other part of this bill, though, was they want to deny unemployment benefits to people who refuse to take drug tests required by employers.
Absolutely makes sense to me.
Well, it's almost like, you know, what should welfare recipients be drug tested as well? If you're on the dole, I think it's an honest thing because you know what? You won't be looking for a job if you're high as a kite sitting on the couch.
I have not been drug tested at Wham, but the previous company I worked for, it was a random thing. And, you know, when your number came up, you got on the bus, you went down to this contracted clinic, and you peed in a cup.
Right.
I mean, there was no arguing about it. You just did it.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that they're not looking at in Lansing, some of the people who are against this said, well, if you're going to drug test the people on welfare or getting unemployment or whatever else, then we should drug test our lawmakers as well. And frankly, I think
Why
you
not?
Should.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Why not?
I think you should be drug tested as a lawmaker.
I have no problem with that. I'm not sure what would happen to some of the other elected officials here throughout the county.
Right.
Ooh.
Remember.
Do tell, Dan. You have any names in mind?
No.
Be honest.
I'm going to do
a Howard Stern here. Be honest.
I have no particular names in mind whatsoever. Just, you know, there's certain activities that take place down on April Saturdays in this part of the woods.
So what you're saying then is that you know of many elected officials that are drug addicts.
Oh, my God.
That's what you're telling us. See? That's a nervous laugh there. He's confirming it. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm for that. You know what I mean? Because being a public servant is kind of like being on the dole as well. I mean, I think if you're a bureaucrat, gets hired by the Washington County Water Department, you get drug tested, right? So why aren't we drug testing senators and...
Hey, if you're on the dole, you better not be on the crack.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crack. You had to bring crack up. Crack. Mr. Brownstone, dude. I know where you're going with that.
Crack, cocaine.
Okay, well, let's move on from that, shall we?
Speedballs.
Dude, you know way too much. Okay, so here's another one that popped up this week, and this is on Michigan Capcom. You can get links to all these stories at Michigan Capital Confidential at thedailydrift.com, www.thedailydrift.com. It's the website that this show is based on. I put all this information out there for you to peruse and digest and make decisions in your life and at the ballot box, you know.
Dan's afraid to look at me now.
All right, so here, with the bankruptcy going on in Detroit, we've had lots of people in Detroit saying, oh, we're getting the short end of the stick. Governor Snyder's railroading us, blah, blah, blah. Give us more money. I guess there's some White House visitors coming in next week, and the city council is going to ask for a little help financially for the city, blah, blah, blah. Well, an analysis shows an incorrect population figure meant the state has overpaid Detroit for the past decade. Huh? How's that? Detroit receives, of the money that Michigan gives back, profit.
And you can see how much it's benefited Detroit.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, they're just on top of it.
In the recently passed Michigan budget, they're going to transfer $235.8 million to cities, villages, and townships into the program. Detroit receives 58% of that money. despite the fact that it contains less than 10% of the state's population.
Maybe they can apply for loans at the Washtenaw County Bank.
Okay. But does that seem fair? I mean, for me as a taxpayer, you know, if I were a township supervisor anywhere else in the state or a city somewhere else in the state, I think I'd be a little ticked off that Detroit is getting 58% of that pot of money.
I'm going to steal your phrase earlier, insanity gone wild.
Insanity gone wild again. Yeah.
I
just wanted to touch on that because you know what? I tire of these union elites and city council members in the city of Detroit saying they're getting short end of the stick and that Rick Snyder's beating them up and everything else. We've been helping the city of Detroit for well over a decade now and overpaying them based on incorrect population figures.
Well, they've received, I'm going to just guess and say they've received tax subsidies for well more than a decade. You're just saying they've been overpaid for at least a decade, right?
Because of false population numbers. In the last, $86.4 million that they shouldn't have gotten. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And where did it go? If it were helping, it'd be one thing, you know? Let's take a call from Jenny on line one. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing, Jenny?
I'm doing good. Are you for or against community service for the welfare?
Am I for or against it? I don't have a problem if you're getting welfare. I think it should be all right to have somebody do something for it. You know what I mean?
There can be possible exceptions. But
you can help with a community basketball game or the community parks or paint benches or do something. I think it's worth people, if they're going to get something, that they have to give something for it. You know,
if they're able. Welfare reform back that Obama took away.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, do you have a problem, Jenny? I mean, does that make sense to you that people have to contribute something in order to get a check?
Yeah, I mean, I'm blind and I work for my church. I mean, not, you know, get paid, but I mean, you know, I do stuff at my church and two other churches.
Right.
Why can't these other people do it?
Yeah, start out, I guess you can't do it voluntary because they're not going to. They're going to much rather sit around and watch Springer, as you said. I know that culture. I've seen it. You know what I mean? I worked, people may not know this, I worked for the city of Inkster at one time. I ran a family investment center down in Inkster. We called it Little Saigon. It was a very rough neighborhood. And the culture there was, I'm going to stay at home, I'm going to have another kid, and get my money. You know, and it was my job to try to talk these young women into finishing their high school degrees and getting a job and getting out of public housing. A tough job it was indeed. But that was my job. But I saw that culture, and the culture has become so embedded that people think it's a way of life. I don't have to work.
You know, I actually did community service, and I'll admit this. When I was like 19 years old, I was home for the summer from Western Michigan University working a summer job. It was at Cunningham Drugs, and there was a long line at the register, and I didn't check an ID when I should have, and it was an undercover police operation where the girl looked like she could have been 21, but you know, I didn't check it. Next thing I know, a few minutes later, I've got a detective tapping me on the shoulder, showing me his ID, saying that I just sold to a minor. Which it wasn't intentional, but I had to go to court, and I was given, I can't remember how many hours of community service work. And I'm like, oh. So I went, and they said it would be expunged from my record. So I went back to Western, and it was up to me to find the type of community service work that I wanted to do. I ended up being a tutor at a hospital downtown in Kalamazoo. I want to say Bronson. Was it Bronson? It's been many years ago. And I had to take the bus down there, and it was a real pain in the butt getting there and getting home because of the bus and all that. But I'll tell you, once I got there, and I started tutoring these kids, it was a great experience.
Sure.
And it's something I'll never forget. And these parents would thank me, and I'd motivate these kids to want to do their homework. You know, like one kid had a broken arm that was stuck up in some sling, and he's like in bed, and he couldn't get out of bed because it's all pinned up. Another girl had a broken leg. And I did their closed circuit TV show too, where the kids could call in and do little trivia stuff. But anyway, I'm boring everyone with that. The point is, I actually enjoyed doing that community service work once I was kind of forced into doing it.
It made you have value, made you have self-esteem, didn't it?
It did, and I met some great people, and it's a memory I'll never forget. You can't take away from me.
Yeah, and for all you believers, you just earned one more step toward heaven. Pearly gates may open for you.
One of the things you run into, and I see this on the Board of Commissioners, is trying to institutionalize something like this. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but when you take it and say, all right, we're going to make this part of the program, you start running into a lot of barriers that you don't think of right away. So you start running into liability insurance, all right? People get paid to do the types of work they get paid because some of these types of works are dangerous, all right? And unless you pay them, they're not going to do it. And so once you get beyond a certain number of types of tasks, how do you get quote-unquote volunteers? And I understand this isn't really volunteering, but you start to run into those types of difficulties with liability and workman's comp. And is there enough of these kind of soft tasks of picking up trash along the road, which is dangerous too? I mean, people swerve off the road and get hit. We got a friend that got in a severe car accident. Somebody slid off the road and hit him. And you know, so you when you start to institutionalize this type of thing and actually make this part of the program, you run into a lot of different problems that you don't come to mind right away. And what you might end up with is it costs more to, say, work for your benefit.
Well, you make a valid point because you know what? You start becoming you have to do your community service to receive your welfare check. The next thing you know, you've joined the state union.
Unintended consequences, which there often are.
Let's give them their freebie.
But the theory is fantastic.
Just give them the freebie.
Yeah.
I don't want to
It's just more work. Just send the check.
It's going to spend the economy. We'll have more lawyers trying to sue people.
Yeah, and I guess it would be like a whole new bureaucracy to address some of the things that Dan's talking about. You know, which community, what community service is apt, you know, and available and that qualifies. You know, then you have to police all that,
right? How far away from your place of residence is it? How do you get from there to there? How do you pay for that?
And then you got to verify they're doing the community service. Maybe they're claiming they are and they're really not. And I could see a lot of cost going into that.
What happens if they get hurt doing one of these community service things?
You
how many hours?
You naysayers. You just, all right, so there you go.
No, all I'm saying is there's more to it.
Just give them their money.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to the meat. The big news this week was the GOP-led House voted to a continuing resolution to continue the budget so that the U.S. doesn't default. And what they did do, surprisingly enough, I didn't think John Boehner had the guts to do it, they defunded Obamacare in the package.
Yeah, but hasn't that been passed like 40 times?
Well, they've done many other things. And this time, though, we have the impetus of September 30th,
right?
We're going to run out of money. We have to get a continuing resolution or come. They'll never get a budget done in time. You know, it's not going to happen. So now they've done this, and it was basically party lines, Democrats saying no, Republicans saying yes, we control the House. So it now goes to the state or the Senate, and the Senate will make that decision. Of course, what they're going to do is chop out the defunding of Obamacare and send it back to the House.
Send it back to the House.
Yeah. So, well, before we move into that, because that's going to get deep real fast, let's listen to John from Farmington Hills, who's got a comment about business taxes. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I was wondering if your guest might be able to answer a question for me, because I heard you guys talking about business. I have a product that I'm going to have a manufacturer make part of it for me, and then I want to open the business up and sell the product. And somebody had mentioned to me that when you have some piece made, that there's like a tax you have to pay on each piece, some kind of a excise tax or something. And I hadn't heard anything about it, and I was wondering, you know, because I'll be paying for the material and paying for their labor to make a part for me, and then I'll assemble that part into my product. And somebody's saying that you have to pay some type of a tax on each piece. Is there any truth to that? You know, does your guest know maybe?
Dan, does that ring a bell to you? Where are you having the piece made, John?
It's going to be at a wire forming shop. They're going to bend a wire a particular shape for me, and then that's part of part of the assembly of the product.
Okay. Just buy it all on Amazon. It's tax-free right now. But buy it next week.
So now, I think, John, kind of what you're thinking of is, like in Canada, they have that GST tax, and it seems to go through every level, right?
Yeah, that's a VAT.
Yes,
what
it's called, a value-added tax.
Value-added tax. And every point in the manufacturing process where you're adding value, there's tax.
Right. And I don't think we have that here yet, right? No, we don't. So I think you're all right, John. Go ahead and continue with your product, and I wouldn't worry too much about it.
John does hit on some things that the legislature took up last year and is continuing to work on, and that's some of the personal property tax reform, which they did do some pieces of that last year. But the idea is to make it easier for businesses to conduct business here in Michigan that they're not paying personal property tax on the equipment that they're using to employ people and to produce goods and services that people want to buy from Michigan. So put it on the sales tax and on the income tax and decrease the reliance on personal property tax. Personal property tax came around because you had a big old stamping machine stamping out bumpers or car parts or whatever. You can't just pick up that piece of equipment and move it across state lines easily. And so it was, oh my gosh, that's a big, heavy piece of equipment, needs lots of specialized fluence and electricity and all kinds of other things, special skills to run it. Once that thing's here, it's not going anywhere. It's bolted to the floor. We can tax it because it's not going anywhere. That was the idea. Well, you saw how that, over the course of time, probably not the best idea.
Right.
You know, when I was working in manufacturing and I was an accountant, and the personal property tax was always an issue. And I'll give you an example. Out in the factory floor, if you had a high-low that was used just dedicated to going up and down the line where the machines were, like, say, taking a basket of parts from one machine to the next for the next stamping operation, then there was no tax on that. But if it was like indirect support where it was used in material control, so it was like taking the basket from the end of the line and then taking it to the truck, you know, to be shipped out, then if I remember correctly, then there was sales tax on that. So it's the same high-low, you know, the same builds, all that, but it depends on how you use it.
Right.
Yeah. The personal property tax has got a lot of different things wrapped up in it. It's very costly to administer for companies. There's a lot of companies that their personal property tax bill is very small, so it's expensive for municipalities to collect. Now,
it's hard to enforce, too, because there's a lot of cheating going on with that.
Hard to enforce. Now, the downside of all this, as these changes are made, municipalities such as Washtenaw County and the townships and cities within Washtenaw County and throughout the state see a decrease in their tax revenues, at least short term. You see an immediate decrease in your tax revenues as these personal property taxes come off. I think the voters of Michigan are going to get to weigh in on this next August.
Right.
And that's going to kind of be a watershed moment. If they continue on with what the legislature's proposed and what the governor signed and they vote on that, well, then we'll probably continue to see more personal property tax reform in different areas over the next decade.
Right.
If they vote it down and they end it, well, that's probably where it stops.
That is for the voters who haven't died of boredom talking about taxes. But anyway.
Hey, John, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying, John, thanks for the call. Tell me what, John, when you're up and running, you call me and we'll give you a free plug on the show for your new product, all right?
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen. That was very informative.
Take care, John.
Take care, John.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. So Obamacare, it's a flop. Let's face it. Even Obama and the Dems are admitting, oh, we got to roll things back. We got to push things back. And now we got to hope that the Senate has the guts to do something. They probably
don't.
They won't. Because they're a bunch of Democrats. But here's a quick track. I want to play that first track, Derek. The reason why Obamacare is such a failure, and we hear about it, you know, our prices are going up on our health insurance plans, people are being forced off. Here's the latest news on what Obamacare is doing to the healthcare industry. Or not. Okay.
As you can tell, Obamacare is a great big flop.
Yes.
It didn't happen.
Well, it did. It just screwed up my track.
That's one way to look at it. Well, he's just pushing
anyway,
it back.
The news,
Derek's
yes.
pushing it back, just like, you know, the
That's
Dems
right.
are pushing back Obamacare.
Yeah. So what's happening is Home Depot is now pushing its part-timers into Obamacare exchanges. They're saying, we're all done. We're not going to allow you to anymore. Trader Joe is another big place. And people went to work at Trader Joe's because they knew, you know, hey, it's not the greatest job in the world, but all right, Derek's in a roll. Here we go.
Trader Joe's has no problem bringing in customers or part-time workers. That's because of its reputation for generous health care benefits at a reasonable cost. It's no wonder Eleanor Snyder finds happy workers here.
They're very accommodating. They're very cheerful.
But now the company is telling part-timers they're going to have to go out and buy their own coverage under Obamacare.
People have to take what comes.
If things change, then you just have to adapt.
Shoppers at this Walnut Creek store were split.
Think it's too bad?
It's up to individual companies what they're going to do.
Trader Joe's is not alone. Earlier this year, Universal Theme Parks said it would be dropping coverage for its 500 part-time workers. Darden Restaurants, which owns Olive Garden and Red Lobster, is moving more workers to part-time to cut costs. And Walmart has said it would limit health coverage to new workers. But not.
Okay, so it's not working. I mean, this is just a long line of companies that are either A, taking people off of full-time so they don't have to provide coverage, or B, taking their part-timers and saying, well, we're not going to cover your spouse, we're not going to cover you anymore, you're going to have to move out. It's not doing what it was touted to do. He said we could keep our insurance. We can't. He said it was going to drive costs down. It's not.
Yeah, for every action, there's a reaction, and now we're seeing some of the reactions, and it's you know, not good for a lot of people. I'd be curious. I wish that journalist had asked those people, did you vote for Obama?
Yeah.
You know, the people that are now suffering the consequences.
Right, right. Well, the other part of this is, and kind of blood makes my blood boil a little bit, is the fact that while we're debating whether Obamacare should be defunded or not, the Congress and their staff have gotten a nice fat exemption.
Another exemption.
Yes. And this time it's the cream of the crop, our legislators who don't have to pay what we have to pay. And once again, some people are trying to mislead the public. Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu, a Democrat, sent a letter out to her constituents saying the notion that they are getting special treatment could not be farther from the truth. It's a blatant lie, mm-hmm. Mary Landrieu. You are getting a special exemption.
How many exemptions are out there? Because I've heard of so many, the big unions,
the unions Congress, aren't getting enough, and that's why they're mad, too.
Yeah.
Let's take a last call from John from Ann Arbor talking about welfare. John, go ahead.
Hello, Dan, and everyone there. I'm still fuming over Conan Smith's comments the hour before.
I was, too.
You know, if people would just admit that it's a family breakdown in minorities that is really the reason why we have so much problems. If you do a study, there was a study about 5 years ago here locally that showed that the number of children disciplined in schools was about the same rate that you find them in prison. And it's just a great indication that, you know, it's not, nobody's being racist and, you know, the police officers aren't doing anything, one or the other. You might find one, you know, outlier, but generally speaking, you know, it comes from the family.
Right. And the families are breaking down, and it's got nothing to do with the color of your skin.
Right.
If you're coming from a broken home, if you're coming from a low-income home, chances are higher that you will commit a crime because you don't have anyone teaching you right from wrong. I mean, we need to force those families.
There was a study, it was about 5 years ago, that looked at, you know, discipline children within the Ann Arbor school system. And it just happened to be about 35%, which is the rate that we find in prison.
And right, right.
So it's a direct correlation that it goes back to the family, and we're not addressing that at all.
Yes, no. And we need to.
Right.
John, thanks for your comments. Great call. Dan Smith, thank you for your coming in today and giving us a little update. And Brandon, of course, and Derek, as always.
How many of our listeners developed bulimia after hearing that Conan Smith discussion? I know I did.
Until next week. Stay tuned. Go to thedailydrift.com.